Now, as Justin said, we're going to look at the third of the Ten Commandments this morning. Llewellyn started a couple weeks ago by looking at the first commandment, "You shall not have any gods or no other gods before me." And if you remember, the thrust of that commandment was that we should worship God alone. There shouldn't be anything else in our life that takes the place of God. And then last week, Randy White took us through the second commandment, "Thou shalt make for thyself no graven image." And the main idea of this commandment was that we shouldn't try to make the invisible visible or try to make the infinite finite by representing it in a statue or a picture or something like that. Any attempt to take the infinite God and represent him in wood or stone in some way couldn't help but demean him and misrepresent him, and so we shouldn't do it. And yet we recognize man throughout history has always sought to have statues or something that represents God. It seems like man has a problem worshiping what he cannot see. And now today's commandment is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Whereas graven images or idols violate the appearance and the physical nature of God, taking his name in vain violates his reputation, his character. And we'll see, we'll talk more about that as we go along. But I think to help us really understand this command in regard to where we are today, I'd like to contrast ourselves and what we see around us today with the Jews of the Old Testament. Sometime after Moses received the Ten Commandments, the Jews stopped using the name of God altogether. God had revealed himself to the Jews through several Hebrew words. He referred to himself as Jehovah or Yahweh or Elohim. And there was a number of other names that God took for himself as ways of expressing himself to the Jews. And again, after Moses had given them this commandment, they reasoned, well, the best way not to take his name in vain is just not to say his name at all. And so they would just use a generic term, Lord, which could also refer to their boss or their master or their father or something like that. And they used this generic term for God so that they wouldn't be in danger of violating this commandment. And then the Old Testament scribes were these guys that would copy the manuscripts. You know, they'd have the law written on a scroll, and these scribes would copy it from one scroll to another scroll. And this was a very meticulous and tedious process. And often in the course of the scribe's work, a supervisor would come in with a little piece of string, and he'd hold one corner of the string, or one end of the string to this side, and one to the top, and then they would form a corner in the middle. And where that corner hit, they'd look at what letter it fell on the original document. And then they would take that string and move it over to the copy, and that corner would have to fall on that exact same letter. Otherwise, they would throw that scroll away and make it start all over again, because they didn't want that guy to miss a word or miss a letter or add something to it. It was very exacting. And the interesting thing for us today is that whenever they came to the name of God, where that scribe had to write one of the names of God, he would get up from his workplace here. They would leave the room. He would disrobe, go through a ceremonial purification process. He would wash his body in water. He would take brand new clothes, special clothes. They would give him a brand new pen that had never been used before. He would come back in, he would write the name of God, then he would throw that pen away, go outside, put his regular clothes back on, and then re-enter the room and resume his work. And then he would go a couple lines or verses down, and the name of God would occur again. And he'd repeat the process, all right? Cleanse himself, get a new pen, and everything else. Now, why did they do that? Why did they go through all that fuss? The reason was because they wanted to be very careful that they did not even write the name of God in an unworthy way. They didn't want to be defiled in any way, to be guilty of violating this commandment. Now, contrast that with what you see and hear around you today. Somebody stubs their toe, and what's the first thing they say? God damn it. Or your boss is mad at you or somebody else in the office, and it's, Jesus, man, why can't you just do your job? Or some young teenage girl sees a boy that she's interested in kind of come in unexpectedly, and she says, oh, my God, it's him. Or some sweet old grandmother receives a very expensive gift, and she opens it up and says, Lord, you shouldn't have. The Old Testament Jews went far beyond what God had intended in observing the letter of the law. God never intended for his name not to be spoken at all. The Jews went too far that direction. But today, in our day and age, I think we've gone too far the other direction. We've become too casual and too careless with God's name. We use it as a cuss word or as an angry word or as a substitute for wow or oh no or golly gee or something like that. As I've prepared this message over the past couple of weeks and I've had this commandment on my mind, I've become more sensitive and more aware of how pervasive this problem is. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that this is perhaps one of the most violated of the Ten Commandments. People certainly lie a lot. They steal a lot. Certainly they covet a lot. But I would put this one right up there in that group as being one of the commandments that is most often violated. And I think if we're honest with ourselves this morning, that we would have to admit that we've allowed our culture to somewhat influence us in all of this. We've allowed our culture, which is hostile to God, to kind of diminish or shrink our view of God. The way we use God's name is indicative of what we think about Him, of our attitude towards Him. And if we use His name in a careless way or in a wrong way, that's indicative of what we think about Him. And so in some ways, I think we've compromised or we've given in to the pressure of the culture around us. And so as we go through this morning, I hope that you'll be open to the Lord and ask Him to show you and to show me where perhaps we have been guilty of violating this commandment. Now let's look at it just a little closer, just so that we understand exactly what the commandment is saying. First of all, it starts off, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Who is the you? We already know that these commandments were given to Moses and to be given to the children of Israel, so it obviously applies to them. They are His people, and He is their God, unlike any other nation on the earth. But when we come to the New Testament, the church, the Christians are His people. We are called His children, His household, His priesthood. And so I believe that because He is our God, that this commandment also has relevance to us. And then in a very general way, God is the God of all people. By virtue of the fact that He created everybody, He is their God. So everybody, all of mankind, belongs to God. And in that sense, this commandment, I think, has application to them as well. And then it says, you shall not take. What does this mean, to take? We most often, I think, the most common understanding is, you shouldn't say His name. You shouldn't say His name as a swear word or use it in vain in your speech. And that's part of this, but it actually has a much broader meaning. The Hebrew word occurs in the Bible over 600 times, and it is translated a number of ways, including to bear, to carry, to wear, or to accept. So to take His name means to accept it, to wear it, to carry it, to be identified with it. In the New Testament, we are told to gather in His name, to pray in His name, to be baptized in His name. We're saved on the basis of faith in His name. We're called to suffer for His name. We're told to bring about the faith of the Gentiles for His name's sake, and we're told to anoint the sick in His name and to pray for their healing. Everything we do as Christians is to be done in the name of Jesus. And when we believe in him, we are thereafter called by his name. And so when we take his name, we take it as a label. We take it as a badge of our identity, who we belong to. And then you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God. For the Jews, it was the name Jehovah, the Lord of Lords. For us today, it's the name Jesus, the Son of God. But we need to understand that it isn't just the word. There's nothing magical about the letters that form the word. It's the person that the name represents that we're concerned about. When we sing songs about his name is wonderful. It's not that just the name Jesus in and of itself is wonderful. There are lots of people the world over that are named Jesus or Jesus. When Eric Weger was here a couple weeks ago, he told me there's a lot of men in Turkey, Muslim men, who have the name Jesus, or however they pronounce it. Now, some of these men around the world that are named Jesus or Jesus are not wonderful people. We could probably find people Ron has probably encountered prisoners with the name Jesus. All right, and when we refer to them, we don't mean that they are wonderful. All right, and that name is not wonderful when it refers to these dirty, rotten scoundrels. The point is, the name is wonderful because of the person behind it. And that's what we're concerned about. When we talk about the name of God, we are talking about his character, about his reputation, and about his nature. Think for a moment of the disciples when they asked the Lord. They said, Master, teach us to pray. And what is the first thing the Lord told them to do when they pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. The Lord is saying, when we pray, when we approach God, the very first thing we should be concerned about is setting apart his name as holy or special in our minds and in our hearts. And then you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. To do something in vain means it has no purpose or reason behind it. If you go to the store to fetch a gallon of milk and the store is closed when you get there, your trip was in vain. If you call me after 10 o'clock at night, your call will be in vain because I'm not going to answer it. To take God's name in vain then has a wide range of meanings. It would certainly include speaking in his name in a careless or a vulgar way. But it would also include any behavior that would tarnish his name, that would tarnish his reputation, that would be a bad reflection on him. Sometimes families, in their extended family, somewhere in your family tree, you may have a black sheep, somebody that other family members refer to as the black sheep of the family. And we either think or we tell that person, you give the family a bad name. You're a bad reflection on our family name. And man can do the same thing to God. We can be a bad reflection on the name of God. I'd like to share some scriptural examples of how that happened. And then we'll look at a few contemporary things that people do. In the Old Testament, the Jews were accused of blaspheming or profaning or taking God's name in vain by offering their children to Molech. They would give their children as sacrifices. And God said, that profanes my name. In Leviticus, they're accused of profaning his name by swearing falsely. Also in Leviticus, the priests are accused of profaning the name of God by mishandling the gifts that people brought to the tabernacle. People would bring sacrifices or gold or something to give to the Lord, and the priests would keep it to themselves, or they would do something with it they weren't supposed to. And the Lord said, well, that profanes my name. In Amos, it says the Lord's name is profaned because a man and his son have sexual relations with the same daughter, with the same woman. And God says, that profanes my name. In Zechariah, the people were stealing and then swearing before God that they didn't do it, that it wasn't them. And that profanes the name of the Lord. In Malachi, the people are accused of not rendering to God the honor and respect that were due his name. He says, you have more respect, more honor for the governor than you do for me. You profane my name. In the New Testament, Paul tells the Romans in chapter 2 that they profaned the name of God through their hypocritical actions. Some of them were going around telling people to keep the commandments. Thou shalt not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. But then they were doing the very thing that they were telling the other people not to do. And Paul says, through your hypocrisy, you profane, you blaspheme the name of God. 1 Timothy 6, Paul says that when slaves who are called by the name of Jesus don't respect their masters, that they profane the name of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2, just a general statement, Christians are told that when they don't abstain from wickedness, which is very broad, that they profane the name of the Lord. And then finally in Revelation 16, people there that refuse God's mercy, God offers to them salvation and they refuse it. They turn their back on God. That profanes his name. Now, let's think for a moment about some contemporary ways that we take his name in vain today. Stuff that we'll see around us today. One way, as we've already said, is, oh my God, instead of wow. That's very popular today, isn't it? Oh my God, this. Oh my God, that. Yet, even yesterday, I probably counted about 10 times when I overheard people do that. Somebody says, good God Almighty, man, what happened to you? Just kind of as an exclamation. Some of us were raised this way. You know, our parents talk like this. Our grandparents talk like this. I was born in the South in the Bible Belt, and my uncles and aunts and grandparents all spoke this way. They used the Lord's name in their conversation like this. And I think most people would say, well, they really don't mean anything by it. They don't mean any offense. They don't mean anything by it. But that's the problem. That's exactly the problem. Whenever we use the Lord's name without being mindful of what that name represents, of the person behind it, then we use his name in vain. Now, this may surprise some people, but I think we use his name when we mindlessly use it in singing and in praying. We can be singing songs like we did earlier about the Lord, addressed to him, Lord, we lift your name on high, but our mind can be thinking about business or about what we're going to have for lunch today. Our lips are mouthing the Lord's name, but we're not thinking about him or considering him. We're mouthing empty words. This is using his name in vain. Sometimes when we pray, we're really preaching to the people around us. We're using the Lord's name, Father this and Father that. But we're really trying to exhort the people in the room. Sometimes you can hear preachers and their closing prayer. It sounds more like the conclusion of their message. All right? But they're using the Lord's name. We take his name in vain when we make promises to him that we don't keep. When I was a kid, the other kids would try to convince you of their sincerity by saying, I cross my heart and hope to die. Or they would say, I swear to God, or I swear on a stack of Bibles. But then they still wouldn't do it. They'd still lie to you and they'd say, see, I had my fingers crossed. The Jews did the same thing. In the Old Testament, God tells the Jews not to swear falsely by his name. So they say, well, we can't swear falsely by his name. So they would swear by Jerusalem, or they would swear by the temple, or they would find some other sacred sounding thing, and they would swear by that. And their reasoning was, well, because we can swear by this, and if we don't do it, we're not in trouble. And so Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that it would be better just simply not to swear at all. Just let your yes be yes and your no, no. Do what you say and say what you do. Nothing else. But occasionally we find ourselves making some type of promise for God. Sometimes people get in a jam and they say, well, God, if you get me out of this jam, I will do thus and so. Or even we can go to a conference or come to church and hear some type of message and we're convicted or we're inspired. And so we make some grand promise to God. Well, if you make that promise, you better do it. Even in our marriage ceremonies today, it's still typical for the preacher to say something to the effect to the bride and the groom, before God and the witnesses assembled here today, do you promise to love and cherish and be faithful to this woman till death do you part? And he says, I do. And he may wake up 4 months later and find out he married the Wicked Witch of the West or something. But he has made a promise to God, and he needs to be faithful to that promise. We use God's name in vain when we use it as a tool for manipulation or to advance our own self-interest. Several years ago, there was a well-known televangelist type who made the very public announcement that God was going to take his life unless all his donors quickly sent in $13 million. He used the name of God to manipulate people to send him money. Throughout history, God's name has been used as justification for all kinds of evil. The Crusades, the Inquisition, slavery in our own country were all done in the name of God. And as we look around the world today at a lot of the battle zones, a lot of the places where blood is being shed, one side or the other often invokes the name of God as justification for their murder and their mayhem. When husbands and parents use the Lord's name, they say, "I am, you know, God has made me the head of this household," or "God has made me your parent. And because of that, it's my right to say we're going to do it this way, or we're going to do thus and so." Well, if that thus and so is not consistent with the character of God or is contrary to the Word of God, then you've invoked the Lord's name in vain. Christians use the Lord's name in vain to try to advance their business. You know, they put a cross or a fish symbol on their business card or in their Yellow Page ad. And there's nothing at all wrong with that if it's a matter of us wanting to identify with the Lord Jesus. But when it's a function of target marketing, when we're thinking, all right, well, maybe this will help win over a certain segment of the customer base and increase my business, that's using the Lord's name in vain. We use the Lord's name in vain when we use it as the brunt of our jokes. There's a bumper sticker that's been around for some time that says, "God is my co-pilot." And now somebody has come out with a new one that says, "Dog is my co-pilot." They've taken the name of God, they've reversed the letters in order to make a joke out of it in a very irreverent way. And sometimes as Christians, we hear jokes, you know, about heaven or hell or God or something, and we like to tell them. And I believe that humor is fine. I mean, humor sometimes can illustrate truth and help us remember things that otherwise we wouldn't. But we need to be careful that we don't use God's name as the brunt or as the focus of our humor. And then his name is all too frequently used in vain as a swear word. This is the most common usage, probably. For some, the slightest little inconvenience is enough to say, "God damn it." Even worse, I think, is saying, "God damn you." Imagine that for a moment. When a man says, "God damn you," to another person, he is actually usurping the role of God. The same God who the Scriptures say is unwilling that any should perish. The same God of whom it is said, "He sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That God, when we say, "God damn you," we're invoking God's name to damn somebody to hell forever. And God doesn't want that. This is the worst form of blasphemy, of using his name in the wrong way. Then there are those who use the name of Jesus. They associate the name of Jesus with all manner of vile things. There's something, I don't know why, it's hard to understand what the logic is, but they take the name of Jesus, which they know to be sacred, and they associate it with something that's evil and dirty and vile. Some of you housewives that don't get out much, maybe you don't hear much of it, but I know that you men, particularly those of you that work in trades like I do that are dominated by men, you hear this type of thing all day long, day after day after day. And I've had some men tell me that it doesn't really bother them anymore. I'm used to it. And then they use that as an excuse to expose themselves to TV or movies or other things where the Lord's name is profaned, because they say, "Well, it doesn't matter. I'm used to it already." I'd like to suggest to you that that's a terrible thing to accept, the desecration of the Lord's name. I know most of the men in this room, and those of you that are married, I know that you, like me, would not stand to have somebody drag your wife's name in the mud. If some guy was saying a bunch of stuff about your wife that was rude and crude and tarnished her reputation, you wouldn't stand for it. In fact, some of you guys I know well enough to know that if that other person persisted, they would require some medical attention. The question, though, is if we don't tolerate it when they speak of our wife's name like that, why should we tolerate it when they speak about the Lord that way? Now, I'm not saying we go around punching everybody in the nose that uses the Lord's name in vain. We can't do that. But I think there are two things we can do. One, we can pray for them. I play basketball with a group of guys regularly, and some of them, whenever they miss a shot or make a bad play, it's common for them to use the Lord's name in vain. And when you're running up and down the basketball court in the heat of the battle, that's not the most opportune time to stop and say, hey, let's talk about this. And so I find myself just praying for them, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, Lord, reveal yourself to them. Make yourself known to them. Help me to make you known to them so that they can understand who you really are. Another thing we can do is we can warn them. We can bring it to their attention what they probably don't know. I've been going to the same barber now for about 20 years, and we've developed a pretty good relationship. He's a good Catholic man. He reads his Bible. He goes to church, and I think he's trying to please God in his own way. And I noticed last time I went in for the very first time, I hadn't noticed before. I think that because of my preparation for this and my sensitivity to this, I noticed that he uses Jesus' name all the time. Every other sentence, Jesus this, Jesus that. And so when the conversation came to a stop, I said, John, guess what we're doing in church this summer? And he said, I don't know. I said, oh, we're going through the Ten Commandments. And he said, oh, that's great, man. We need to do more of that. I said, guess which one we're doing this week? He said, I don't know. I said, the third one. He goes, well, which one is that? I don't remember the order. I said, oh, it's you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And it got real quiet. Not only John, but the other people that were kind of overhearing our conversation. It got painfully quiet for a moment. And then my barber, John, says, you know, I'm guilty of this. He goes, I do this way too much. I shouldn't do this. I need to cut it out. And we spoke a little bit, and I tried to help him understand that there's a consequence to it. The second half of the verse, which most people don't know, says, the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, in the Old Testament, the punishment was very clear. In Leviticus, shortly after Moses had received the Ten Commandments, two men got in a fight. They came to blows. And in the heat of the battle, one man cursed the name of the Lord. And so some of the witnesses that heard it, they ran over to Moses and they said, Moses, remember those commandments you told us? We just heard some guy violate the third one. What should we do? So Moses went and prayed. And God said, well, I want you to assemble all the people. I want you to lay hands on the guy and then stone him. And then tell everybody else that this is going to happen to anybody that uses the Lord's name in vain. The penalty for using the Lord's name in vain in the Old Testament was capital punishment, was death. Now, I think we need to be thankful this morning that that's not the case today. The Lord doesn't call on us to do that today. But we need to recognize that God will not be mocked. He's a holy and righteous God, and He wants His name to reflect that. And it's in our own best interest to understand that and to live accordingly. Some of you here this morning, I think, maybe haven't been exposed to this teaching. If you weren't raised in church, if you haven't read your Bible, perhaps you've been using the Lord's name in vain and just ignorant of the fact that you shouldn't be doing it. Well, now you know better, and you need to cut it out. You just need to stop it. And you have a choice to make about the Lord's name today. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So one choice is to believe in the name of the Lord, to be saved and to avert His wrath. The other choice is John 3:18. He who believes in Him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So where you stand with the name of Jesus determines where you stand with God and whether you should expect His judgment or not. There may be others of you here this morning who think of yourselves as Christians. Maybe you've been raised here at Fairhaven. And yet you use the Lord's name in vain. And it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't bother you. Your friends, your associates use his name in the most profane way. And it just rolls off your back. It doesn't grieve your soul. I'd like to suggest to you that you may need to re-examine your relationship with the Lord. Because if you really knew him, if you really knew him as your Savior, if you had been touched by his love, and if his Holy Spirit was living inside of you, it would bother you to hear his name dragged through the mud like that. And then I think for the vast majority of our audience this morning, most of us that are seeking to follow the Lord and live in obedience to him, we would never dream of using his name as a swear word. But the question for us is, what about some of these other things? Is there some area of our life, the way that we live, we have his name, we are called by his name, and is there some area of our life that is a bad reflection on the Lord? In just a moment, the music team is going to come back up. They're going to lead us in a closing song. And as they're coming and getting prepared, we'll have just a moment of silence. I'd like you all just to reflect for a moment and ask the Lord to reveal to you any area that he wants to speak to you about this morning. Let me leave you, first of all, though, with some verses, I think, that summarize what should be our attitude toward the Lord's name. First of all, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then couple that with 2 Thessalonians 1:12. In order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. This is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. We want everything that we do, everything that we say, to be done as though he were doing it himself. That's what it means to do it in his name, to do what he would do. And so if we find ourselves doing things and we think, well, I couldn't do this in his name. You know, I wouldn't want people that are observing me do this, know that I'm a Christian, because this would be a bad reflection on his name. If we find ourselves in that situation, we need to cut that out. That's taking his name in vain. We shouldn't do it. Okay, let's have the music leaders come now. And while they're coming, let's the rest of us just spend a moment thanking and asking the Lord to deal with us this morning.